This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, Mr. Damon McDonald. And at the time that we are recording this, it is Saturday, November 21st. We just got done watching the first show of New Japan's World Tag League live from Korakuen Hall. But before we get into that and talk all about that card, Damon, what's going on, man?
Well, look, I got bad news to report.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Once again, I'm sitting here with a case of the sniffles. I got a cold again. I know it's from that fucking plane. And I know it's from, sitting in that stupid, sports book with all the smoke and everything. My immune system is shot. I'm an old man. I feel like I have to live in a plastic bubble. So yeah, I got a little sniffles, I got a little sore throat, but nothing like I had before. I don't think it's the flu, but I'm sick again. I'm like, what the frig? I mean, it stinks. There's nothing worse than when you get that like pre-scratch in your throat, and you're like, oh, maybe I just slept with an open mouth. No, you're getting sick. You know you're getting sick. You're just fighting the inevitable. So. But don't worry, kids. I'm going to give you 100% as I always do here on the Purecast.
Yeah, see, whenever I get that scratchiness in my throat, and I know right away, I know. Oh, shit. Here we go.
Right. Aren't you just like, this is going to waste. It's going to stick around for like 4 days, 5 days. I got shit to do. And there's nothing worse than blowing your nose. I fucking hate.
Who are you, Vince McMahon?
I know. I'm not gonna sneeze around you. I'm like, fuck. I just hate blowing my nose, like, because then your ears pop, and then after a while, your nose gets all raw, and it's just a fucking mess, and I hate it. But, listen, I'm not gonna be a big baby and cry, and I'm gonna suck it up, and we're gonna have an awesome show as we always do.
That's right. And before we even talk about this World Tag League show that took place from Korakuen Hall, Damon, I want to get your thoughts on this Tenryu retirement show. Now, I'll admit, I did not watch the entire show. However, I did watch the main event, of course, Tenryu having his final match with Okada. And I'll tell you what, there were moments in this match that kind of scared me a little.
Me too. There, one spot in particular was the powerbomb spot, I'll touch on that in a little bit. But yeah, I'm sitting here. So all right, well let's start from the jump, because to me, this might be one of my favorite matches of all time.
Really?
Yes. Now let's I want to put a asterisk, a disclaimer here. I say favorite. In the sense of, it gave me pleasure and joy. Not necessarily it was the greatest match, but it was one of my favorite matches. I've watched the match 3 times. There is so much great, I can't even say great pro wrestling, because it was very good pro wrestling, I thought, at times, thanks to one man, and we know who that is. But the whole story behind it, And the fact that you had Okada literally saying, I'm going to do everything in my power, every ounce of skill and young, fresh, vibrant, athletic 20-something-year-old, I'm going to give everything I got to make this guy who's pushing fucking 70, to make him look like the absolute legend that he is. And I sat and I thought, what other genre, like nowhere else in sports would this possibly happen this way? Where a young, there's always passing of the torches, and the announcers are, oh, that's Gretzky passing the torch to Lemieux, and or that's Jordan passing the torch to Kobe, and of course it doesn't happen like it happens here in pro wrestling, where it's two guys working together to make each other look good. It's not like, you know, Jordan is allowing Kobe to go dunk on him. You know, that's not going to happen.
I like when Balboa passed the torch to Clubber Lang. That was my favorite passing of the torch.
You like that passing of the torch?
Yes.
And why is it always a torch? Why are we passing torches? Why is
it's dangerous? So,
it really is. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get burned. Hot. So this match had that, and it had me emotionally invested more than any match that I can really remember in a long, long time. So if you haven't seen the match, please go out of your way to watch it, because it's worth, at the very least, watching what Okada was able to do in making Tenryu look like a star. There are moments, Colin, where I was like, if you notice at the beginning of the match, there's a lot of offense and a lot of stuff going on right around the perimeter of the ring. Right, we're not going in the middle of the ring for much, because fucking Tenryu can't stand. He not after 20 minutes of wrestling. He can't stand after walking in the ring.
He needed help getting into the ring.
He was in a bad way. He had no reason. You know, if it wasn't Tenryu, I would probably be saying out loud, "Please don't do this. You're going to hurt yourself." So a lot of the offense was him holding onto the ropes while they would do shit. And it was evident early that Tenryu could not do much. So, you know, there was a lot of punches and kicks and chops and so forth. But Okada, holy shit, was he a bump machine. He was just bumping like a motherfucker. Just taking shit that, quite honestly, you know, if it were anybody else, if this were Nakanishi, we'd both be doubled over in laughter, some of the shit. But then the match hits another gear. And holy shit, the drop kicks. And Tenryu wasn't getting up. You know, Tenryu wasn't able to stand at this point. So he's taking all this shit from his knees, just drop kicks and kicks and like forearm shots. Then it's like, okay, we still got a little bit more to go. How about that fucking powerbomb spot?
Oh, my God. Oh. Okay. We have to talk about this. So,
Colin, I thought they ruined Wrestle Kingdom. I thought Wrestle Kingdom was done.
So Tenryu's in the corner with Okada.
Yeah.
And he's setting him up for a powerbomb. And I'm watching this. And this reminds me of Izzy Mandelbaum lifting the weights in Seinfeld. Like, my first thought was, oh my God, okay, this old man is going to throw out his back, right, trying to get Okada up, right, over his head. And so he gets him up, not really all the way, just kind of like waist high, and drops him right on his freaking head.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing as you. Oh my God. Well, yeah. That's it for Okada.
Yeah.
Say, kiss your Wrestle Kingdom 10 main event goodbye, because Okada.
Yeah, he's not walking. He's not getting up from that.
That was Owen Hart, Steve Austin scary. That was
Draws scary.
Yeah, that was Draws scary.
Seriously. I mean, so just to put this in perspective, I am watching this match in a press box, right, at the Philadelphia Eagles, Lincoln Financial Field. I'm in the press box watching this match. And as he's in the corner and he's got him hooked up, and I'm thinking, well, you know, you can't even stand. And how are you going to get Okada up? Okada really is going to have to work to get himself up. You know, he's going to jump. And so as it's going, I'm whispering out loud to my computer. I'm like staring at my computer screen, whispering, and I'm saying, please, Okada, get up. Please, Okada, get up. Please, Okada, get up. Saying as in Okada, get up for the powerbomb. Like, get, like, find a way to just fucking crunch your abs and get yourself up so that, because Tenryu ain't going to get you up by himself. And it didn't happen. And I went, oh my God. And like, I'm saying this out loud. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Right. And I'm just, I'm whispering to myself now at this point, oh my God, just move your arms, move your legs, move something. Don't be paralyzed. Because it, the way that he dropped him, it was dangerous.
Yeah, it was scary looking.
Yeah. So then, as we move forward in this match, Tenryu's shot. Tenryu's shot at this point, right? He's got nothing left in the tank, and it was just such a fucking admirable thing. And it's not like he had nothing in the tank and fuck you. It was he had nothing in the tank and come on, buddy, you can make it. You know what I mean? It was that kind of thing. It was that kind of come on, just run on fumes. Just get to the finish. Come on, you can do it. And I'm cheering on Tenryu to get to the finish. You know what I mean? To get just run on fucking fumes. And he had nothing left. And the only thing that he had left, he didn't have the energy or the strength or the inner, you know, athletic ability. He had the guts. He had the heart.
He had the moves.
He had the moves. I'm trying to make a dramatic moment here. I'm trying to bring people into this magical fucking moment, Colin Miller, and you got to bring up the moves.
I'm sorry. It's just it was so evident.
Everybody was coming along for the ride. I see tears. I see a young Australian guy walking the university with tears in his eyes. Right?
New Zealand, I believe.
I'm painting a fucking picture here, and you're bringing out the moobs.
Well, I was trying to help you paint that picture.
Well, you ruined the picture. All right, so anyway. All right, so yes, moobs. He did have moobs. He's a 70-year-old guy. Trust me, I got mine are a little bit more supple, but I got my moobs. I think everybody listening to this has got their moobs.
So Damon, you have some supple moobs going on.
Mine aren't as saggy. Mine are supple. Mine you could really nuzzle up against and just, you know, purr like a cat. So here's Tenryu with his moves, giving it everything he's got. And I'm just saying, come on, buddy, you can fucking do this. Just give it everything you got. And the only thing left that he had, Colin, was I'm going to punch Okada in the fucking face.
And he did.
He absolutely did many times. Okada ate quite a few of them because that's all that he had. He didn't even have the energy to work. He was just throwing haymakers and connecting and holy shitballs. And then the last flurry of drop kicks and just Okada saying, all right, well, you had enough strength to punch me in the face. Not for nothing. You're going to eat a couple of my boots. And boy, did he ever lay them in, right? There were some fucking drop kicks that Tenryu ate for the very last time.
When Tenryu was on the mat and he was sitting up and Okada was giving him those drop kicks, I thought that he caved his chest in.
There were a couple where I squealed like a girl just at the brutality of it. It was like, dude, you know, it would be like you guys, having a wonderful Christmas dinner with your grandparents and then deciding to dropkick them while they're opening their gifts. It was that horrific. Look, it was magical. I'm sorry. I loved this match. I loved everything about it. I loved everything. This was everything. Look, there's a lot of shit going on in this world right now. And in no means am I saying pro wrestling has any room in the conversation of all that is going wrong in the world today. But for one brief, tiny moment, pro wrestling gave me hope that there are human beings in this world that give a fuck about one another. And that's exactly what it was. It was a superstar doing everything in his power to make a legend go out with dignity and respect and on top. I can't put that over more. Like, to me, that means more than all the dumb bullshit that pro wrestling gives you. Like, to me, you're not going to get that in any other sport. You're not going to get you know, Kobe, you know, using Michael Jordan's shoulders to do a reverse dunk. It just doesn't happen in any other. I can't think of any other profession, to be quite frank. This was one of those moments that I think made me happy and proud. And a lot of people aren't going to get it. Like, you can't bring in somebody from the outside and be like, watch this match and see what happens. And they're going to get those subtleties and they're going to get, like, what's really going on in the ring. But if you're a fan of pro wrestling and you watch this and you don't get that feeling out of this match, then I don't know. I don't know what I can do for you. But that's why this is one of my favorite matches of all time.
And that's one of the things that actually crossed my mind as I was watching this match. I was thinking to myself, man, if I brought someone in the room and sat them down, somebody who has never watched a pro wrestling match before in their life, they would probably say, oh my God, this is stupid. What's this saggy old man doing in there?
Yeah, so, why is he getting murdered?
Yeah, why is this handsome young man kicking him in the face?
Right. This is not one of those matches that you sit down to a new or casual pro wrestling fan and be like, watch this match. You know, this is not, you know, that Ibushi Nakamura match or, you know, that, I don't know, maybe even like a, you know, I was going to give you like an Undertaker Foley Hell in the Cell, you know, just for the pure shock value of it. No, this is not one of those matches that a casual fan is going to get. This is a person that you're going to have to understand who Tenryu was, what he meant to pro wrestling in the 80s and 90s and who Okada is. And, you know, I don't think you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out that this is his last match, but yeah, I'm sure there'd be a lot of comments of, oh, why, you know, that's the worst looking offense I've ever seen. The guy can't even stand. Okay. Yes. But here's the story, you know, and I think the people that get it, got it. And the people that I haven't heard anything bad about this, you know, like there's nowhere that I've looked online that where people have shit on this because I think people get it. Like I think people understand what this was and why this was such an awesome and historic and dare I say fun pro wrestling match.
And it just was the atmosphere in Sumo Hall, too, was electric.
Yeah, because everybody there knew it. Everybody there knew what they were seeing. You know, if you're buying a ticket to see Tenryu's last match, you're a fan, and you understand why, and you understand what's going on, and the subtleties. Again, he shouldn't physically. He had no business being in the ring. You know, he could barely stand. He's holding on to the ropes to keep his balance. Some of that offense looked terrible, to be quite honest with you. But you know that Rainmaker. You know. You could time that thing on a stopwatch, you know, a calendar by the time he finally turned around and took the clothes on. But again, if you're wagging your finger at that, then you're a terrible human being.
Yeah, if you expected that to look like when AJ Styles takes the Rainmaker,
right.
Well, come on.
Right. And I think everybody, but here's the good news. The good news is that not only was this match what it was and I thoroughly enjoyable and everything that is great about pro wrestling. People got it. You know, there hasn't been a review online that I've seen that is shit on this. Everybody got it. Everybody was in on it. And that's refreshing too, that you read that and people, were there and got it and were able to enjoy it. That's really the bottom line. You know, they were able to enjoy that moment. That doesn't happen all the time in pro wrestling. Let's be honest. It doesn't really happen all that often, but when it does, it's one to savor.
So Okada hits the Rainmaker. He pins Tenryu for the 1-2-3. And after the match, who comes out but Mr. Stan Hansen and Terry Funk.
Yep. Took the plane ride over. That's good. You know, there's I saw backstage photos. First of all, speaking of backstage, Okada's face.
Yeah, I saw those photos as he was being interviewed afterwards.
Even on the show today, the tag league show, there was still some swelling and a little redness, and you know, he ate some shit. He took a lot. He did a lot, and a lot of credit has to go to Okada, man. I tell you what, that was a hell of a fucking performance by him. And if he's not on, that's wrestler of the year type shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's – the guy couldn't walk, and he had a good match. He had a, it was a good match.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you watch this match and you don't think that Kazuchika Okada is one of the greatest pro wrestlers in the world right now, if not the best – then you're never going to think that then.
Yeah, I mean, this is, look, Tenryu gave everything he had, everything he fucking had. That is awesome too. You know what I mean? Like, he knew this was it. He knew this was his last, time in the ring. And, man, he gave it all. And I got to just stand up and applaud the guy. He just an awesome, awesome match. And yeah, Stan Hansen coming out added some extra flair to it. Terry Funk.
Funk has the greatest entrance music I have ever heard.
Yeah. The twangy guitar thing.
Funky jamming shit right there.
Yeah, that's Terry Funk. That's Terry Funk. Just a great night. I watched most of the other matches. I didn't see everything, to be quite honest. I can't sit here and act like I have. But I thought the Daisuke Sakamoto tag match with Suwama and Fujita, that was just a brutal fucking... These were guys that obviously did not get along. And just beating the living shit out of each other. And again, if you're a fan of Big Japan Pro Wrestling... Daisuke Sakamoto is a guy that you know. If you don't know, you're looking up, big bruising Ishii type guy, Makabe type guy, but I think even bigger, stronger, and even stiffer. So definitely check out. So everything after intermission was actually really kind of good. Saito Kawakami, is it? Kawakami?
Yes, I believe so.
Here, Ishii match was decent. Suzuki's match was pretty good with Fujiwara and Takayama. I enjoyed that. So, look, this is a show that if you like a little comedy, if you like a little grimy pro wrestling, definitely check out the first half because there's plenty of that. You got your wingers, and I totally fucked up last week. I got winger confused with Wing Kanemoto, is it, or Kanemoto? So Wing Kanemoto was like a big deathmatch guy. And Winger is kind of like a mass loot. Yeah. I fucked that up. So somebody brought that to my attention. And I was like, yeah, you know what? As I was saying it, I remember. So I got those two confused. But
Winger was an 80s glam metal band.
Right. As opposed to Warrant. I will say this about Warrant. There is one song that I really like, and that if you look at my Spotify history, you'll see I've gone to that well a couple times. I do like a little Down Boys.
Down Boys, huh?
I do like a little Down Boys. Where the Down Boys go?
Yeah, no, I dig Down Boys.
Liger's in the mix here. Look, like I said, Kabuki. I didn't see the Kabuki match. Kabuki and Kai. I can't say him. How is I gotta want to see that because that's the one match I'm still seeing like just shit reviews for, but yeah, look, everything before intermission is everything after intermission I think is very watchable. Last two matches I think are worth more than the price of admission.
Yeah, and I want to say one final thing
about
this
Warrant.
No, not about Warrant. I'll save that for later.
All right,
but I want to say one final thing about this Tenryu retirement match. Look, Damon, you and I obviously grew up watching wrestling in different eras, so I think that it's safe to say that this show and this match in particular meant a little bit more to you than it did to me, because, I mean, you were there in the 90s to watch all of these guys, like your Misawas and your Kobashis and Tenryu, and, you were there. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, I wasn't physically there, but yeah, but I was getting the tapes, and I was in the era. I was ringing the bell. I was a timekeeper. You didn't know. Look, yeah, it did mean a lot, and I get the fact that 20-year-olds they'll get the fact that he's a legend, and they can see a lot of the stuff on your YouTubes and your Daily Motions, and there's plenty of avenues to watch stuff if you have the time to do so, and do your due diligence with history, but. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing Tenryu at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. He was in. He was actually there with the Road Warriors when they were doing the six-man tag gimmick.
Really?
Yeah. He was on a house show. They closed the show. I couldn't tell you who they wrestled. I'd have to look it up. But yeah, they were on a house show. I remember. So I used to go to the Spectrum every month. So there's a lot of crazy shit, like weird people that you would see rolling down. But yeah, Tenryu was there. Because Tenryu, when he left All Japan, he formed a promotion, SWS, and it was like, I want to say it was like an eyeglass manufacturer or like sunglass manufacturer or something like that, or some kind of optics guy, money mark. Just, you know, they had a promotion, and they had a working relationship with WWF, WWE. So that's where you, like, if you look online, you'll see like the Tenryu Hogan matches or, and like Savage Tenryu. That's where all these shows, these were SWS shows, these joint shows with the WWF. So yeah, he did a tour, and they went up to like a six. It was like IRS and some. I couldn't even tell you, but it was like Tenryu and the Road Warriors. They were doing like a six-man tag, international tag champs or some dumb shit. Yeah, I remember seeing him there. But yes, it definitely meant a lot to me. Here's another thing too. How depressing is it getting old? Oh, for fuck's sake.
I wouldn't know.
You son of a bitch. you dirty fucking prick. Look, it's sad. You know, it's time stops for no one. And that's living proof. You know, there was a tear in my eye watching a guy who was pretty known for his strong style of pro wrestling not quite being able to walk. And that's, again, Father Time catching up on all of us. So count your blessings, everyone, and make every day special. That's my advice for everyone. You know, live every day to the fullest. Live life.
By the way, whenever somebody says "with a tear in my eye," what do you think the first thing is?
With a tear in my eye. Yes, of course.
Let me ask you one more question here. If you had to recommend a match or a series of matches for someone who watched this Tenryu retirement match and wants to go back and study a little bit of history and really find out what this guy was all about, what would you recommend?
Tenryu Choshu. You can go Tenryu All Japan. His entire run there was tremendous. Even his match with Inoki wasn't bad. So they had Wrestle and Romance. He formed another promotion that was kind of invading New Japan. That was some pretty good stuff. That was probably his last really solid stuff. But Tenryu in All Japan is just some great stuff.
By the way, Wrestle and Romance, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were actually the company that hosted the second Super J Cup, right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yes. I wasn't a huge fan of that stuff, to be quite frank, but
you're not Frank, you're Damon.
Don't call me Shirley. But yeah, if you go back in any of those matches, fantastic stuff. He's a legend. I feel like I'm dancing around, like trying to give you a specific match, but there's so many good ones in this, and it's that whole run of his, you know, Hansen Choshu, yeah. I mean, just go back and Google it and watch, and do yourself a favor. Do yourself a little history. Stop when it gets to the Wrestle and Romance stuff, but stop when it gets past that stuff, because to me there wasn't too much after that. But go that route. I think you'll be very happy.
So moving along here to some modern day New Japan stuff, Damon, we just got done watching the first show from the World Tag League Day One, which took place from Korakuen Hall in Tokyo. And
I've been there. I know that place.
Yeah, that's right. You've been there quite a few times.
A couple times.
You've sat in those comfortable orange seats, right?
I certainly did. You know, it's funny when they do the crowd shots and all. I was like, I stood there. I do that like a total turd.
Yeah, it's got to be wild.
It is kind of cool.
But, okay, So I want to go through this card. I thought that this was a good show. I thought there was stuff on here that was just okay. I thought there was some stuff that was very good. So let's start from the bottom and work our way up here. This show started off with a tag match featuring Mascara Dorada and David Finlay taking on Komatsu and Tanaka. Man, Komatsu and Tanaka and David Finlay, they always put on entertaining matches. And how good are these guys?
I know, we say it every week, and it feels like we could just literally say it once and then edit it and splice it in, but it's the truth. Well, now, this match, Bushi was supposed to be in it, right? So
yes.
David Finlay taking his spot there. Dorada gets the pin, gets the win. Yeah, I mean, there's only so many times you can say it without sounding like a broken record. I wish we could fast forward a little bit and get these guys on an excursion. I'm super thrilled to see what they can do here in the States. I think everybody else is excited for that too. So to have like a Komatsu or Tanaka in Ring of Honor or, other indies around the country and in Mexico, and to give them time to, do one-on-ones and let's see what we can do. A lot of interesting matchups that can come of that. The match itself here was a solid opener. Nothing to hand wave, but nothing that I would say like go out of your way to watch. It's a solid Young Lions match that delivered as always.
By the way, anytime I see Mascara Dorada, I just shake my head and say, man, they missed the boat on this guy. This was a guy who could have been a legitimate contender for the IWGP Junior title, and they did nothing with him. And now I think pretty soon he's going to be going back to CMLL. So it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hit a home run every time. We talked about that last week with the booking, and I think that's definitely one avenue where I think the ball was dropped. And yeah, I mean, again, everybody can't be a champion, but
everybody should have a title, damn it.
Everybody, a participation award.
Effort award, like you used to get in school. Remember those?
I never got an effort award. Let me
really?
Tell you something. No, no. Either you won or you didn't. You went home and you cried in your pillow and you thought shame of yourself. That's what happened. That's what grew me into the man I am today.
Well, I still went home and cried in my pillow. But nevertheless, I did get effort awards.
Did you? Oh, that's nice. See, that's the difference between you 20-year-olds and us grizzled veterans. And we pay our dues. We don't.
Damn millennials.
That's right. Damn millennials. That's an inside joke you gave me. All right. Yes, but like I said, good match, but yep, standard fare.
So next we saw the team of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian taking on Tiger Mask and Juice Robinson. I have a few things to say about this match. Number one, Christopher Daniels is the Ponce de Leon of pro wrestling. And what I mean by that is...
Yeah, please explain.
This guy discovered the fountain of youth, I think. And he shared it with only one other person, and that was his buddy AJ Styles. Christopher Daniels, no, seriously. He wrestles and looks exactly the same that he wrestles the same way he did 10 years ago. He looks the same way. This guy is just it was great to see him back in Japan, first of all.
I think everybody's excited for that. I'm interested. I'm hoping he brought over a little extra baggage, a little extra luggage. Maybe a Curry Man outfit. I don't, maybe we'll see an appearance by Curry Man. I like Christopher Daniels. I like him a lot. Frankie Kazarian, I like. They're fine. Can someone explain to me what's going on? Is he a general with that outfit?
Well, yeah. Daniels comes out in like what looks like an SS outfit.
I'm gonna cut right to the chase. He looks like a fucking Nazi right now.
He does.
All right.
He does, and he's bald.
Right. He looks like fucking Colonel Clink. I'm just saying it.
He might as well just goose step to the ring.
I'm just saying. All right. That's the vibe I'm getting. What vibe am I supposed to be getting? Because I keep waiting for him to grab the house so I can go Hogan.
It's an SS jacket. Come on.
It really, right? Am I out of my mind thinking this?
He just needs the death head cap, and he could be Colonel Hans Landa.
If he comes out with a little square mustache, I'm gonna write my congressman.
Yeah, so Daniels and Kazarian took on Tiger Mask and Juice Robinson. Damon, Juice Robinson, once again, he didn't do anything bad, but at the same time, he didn't do anything new either.
Not talking about him. He's totally insignificant to me, to the show, to New Japan Pro Wrestling. What did he do? He did something.
He did a plancha to the outside.
Did a plancha. He did the airplane spin,
which he's done before.
Has he?
Yeah. I'm sure that he's done the airplane spin before. He didn't do his cannonball in the corner. We missed out on that one. So
and his punches, his effective shuck and jive, right?
Right.
Right. So it's Juice Robinson. I mean, let's you know, we all see where this is going, and nowhere fast. What did you think about the debuting Daniels and Kazarian? How do you think they fared in their first foray?
I believe that foray is the word that you're looking for.
How do you think they did?
I thought that they fared quite well. I think that Daniels and Kazarian, they are a solid team of two veterans. I've been enjoying their work together for a while now. And I would really like to see both of them go far in this World Tag League tournament, but yeah. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, but I think they did okay.
I'd like to see them be a mainstay in New Japan for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the ROH relationship, you'll see much more of them. But this first shot here wasn't tremendous. It was okay. I wasn't thrilled with the partners that they had with Juice, and it was Tiger Mask, right?
Yes, it was Tiger Mask.
Yeah, so okay, all right, yeah. Nothing to get too excited over with this match. There was solid work by both parties, but it was Juice and Tiger. So let's not get all up in arms yet. Let's see what they get in the ring with some solid dance partners. Why am I talking like this now? Because I don't know why.
Yeah, so Daniels and Kazarian making their debut here in New Japan Pro Wrestling. This next match here featured the Bullet Club with AJ Styles, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Cody Hall, and a returning Yujiro Takahashi. Yes! Taking on the team of Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Kojima, Yuji Nagata, Manabu Nakanishi, and Jay White. Let me tell you something. Yujiro Takahashi. I've been thinking a lot lately about that story that we told on the PuroCast, about that gentleman that you and our buddy Eric met at the ROH New Japan show. And the more I think about that story and what he said, the more it's all starting to make sense to me.
You're on board, huh?
Yeah, I'm on the Takahashi train.
Ew. really? Look, you know, hey, he's got a ton of charisma. He's got the girls. He's got the whole nine yards. The problem is when the bell rings. That's where I got the problem.
But Damon, he's got this Ric Flair thing going on.
Yeah, he sure does, doesn't he?
This Rick Rude thing.
Yeah. They don't have any of that to me.
You need to go back and watch some of his matches with Okada. They're good matches, but
yeah, I mean,
you know,
I'm not saying they're terrible, but like, I'm not spending money to bring him over. That's for sure. This match was uneventful to me.
Yeah, no, this match was nothing special. Certainly, it was exactly what you would expect. We've seen this before many, many times.
Do we have to talk about it?
No, I don't even think we really have to talk about it. The thing that I just wanted to bring up was that Takahashi is back. He
got the pin, right?
He dyed his hair. He doesn't have blonde.
Right, not
blonde. Now he has sort of like a charcoal thing going on. And
he got the pin.
Yeah, yeah.
He got the win to help him establish that, you know, he's not always going to be losing. So they gave him the win, which was a pleasant surprise. They did their brawling outside the ring. And it was, I'm trying to get blood from a stone here. It's definitely a skippable match, guys.
Whenever anybody says blood from a stone, I think of that old Stone Cold t-shirt that they used to sell. Remember that one?
Oh, which one?
Yeah, no, it was a Stone Cold t-shirt, and it basically had his face, you know, the where he was screaming in agony.
Okay.
In the sharpshooter with the blood with the trickling blood? Down his, yeah. And it just had a picture of his face and it said blood from a stone.
That's a shitty t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't know who, you know, I didn't buy that t-shirt. I wouldn't wear something like that. But whenever somebody uses that phrase, blood from a stone, I think that's of that t-shirt.
All right, well, look, you should see a psychiatrist, I think. But yeah, I'm not buying that t-shirt. That t-shirt stinks.
All right, so yeah, Bullet Club versus, you know, these guys, nothing special here. I think that we can pretty much hand wave this one.
But I will say this. How about the Nakanishi Fale?
Oh, yeah. I did want to talk about that. Nakanishi, how about it? He got the big man up and over.
Yeah, yeah. How about this one? The announcers were pretty hot for this match. Like, when he got him up and over, they were going berserko. And here's another reason why I won't be listening to the English commentary come Wrestle Kingdom time. You ain't going to hear gems like that. Like, those guys going berserk made that match, you know, I don't want to say enjoyable, but it made it tolerable. It was like a little sugar with the medicine, so to speak, because they were hilarious. They were going batshit crazy when that happened.
Yeah, it made it taste a little better going down.
Yeah, yeah. We know that feeling, right, Colin?
On that note, I think that we should move on to the start of the World Tag League here. We had the team of Makabe and Honma, GBH, taking on Toru Yano and Kazushi Sakuraba. this match, not a whole lot going on here. Yano picking up the win for his team with the schoolboy on Honma. Damon, do you have anything to say about this match?
Well, look, you know how New Japan books, in the sense that the teams that you think are going to win always kind of need to come back, you know, and it's always kind of like a little build to it. So if you were looking for upsets, if you're going to Vegas and betting, which you couldn't do because you can't bet on New Japan Pro Wrestling there, but if you had a little side bet with your friends, this was the night to take the underdog, so to speak. So, the match really didn't do much for me. There was one spot where there was the Kokeshi, and then it went into the choke from Sakuraba that I did like. But aside from that, I wasn't feeling this match at all, to be quite honest with you. I feel this is a definitely skipperoo kangaroo, as they say in the pro. They don't say that at all. I just made that up.
Skipperoo kangaroo. I
yes.
like it.
You like that one?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's for my Australian friends. yeah, so no, don't waste your time with this match.
How long do you think it's going to be before Honma's body just completely gives out on him and it says, no more, we're not doing this anymore?
You know, he's an in shape gentleman. He's actually quite taller than I thought. Like seeing him in person.
Really?
Yeah, he's actually taller than I thought he is. I was thinking about how his career has progressed. This morning, as a matter of fact, I think actually when I was watching this match, and you know how he came from his deathmatch roots, and you know, and I just kind of wonder like what. Was his life like? I was actually thinking this. Like, what was Hanma's life like that led him to the pro wrestling thing? You know what I mean? Like, not everybody, you know, how do you wind up getting tubes of glass busted over you? You know?
I was just going to mention that he was one of the first guys to use a fluorescent light tube as a weapon.
Yeah. Like, how does that happen? Like, what happens in life? To make that happen. And then, you know, and where he is now and who he is now. And it's just, and again, he's not like he's headlining the Dome, but he'll be on a Dome show and he'll be a significant, piece of that puzzle come January. But just dropped my microphone. Yeah, I was just wondering he's not that old either. He's not like he's, how old do you think he is?
Honma, I want to say that he's in his early 40s.
I would think so, too. I'm going to guess he's younger. I'm going to look it up.
38, perhaps? Tomoaki Honma is 39 years old, actually.
Okay. There you go. I thought it was actually a little bit younger. But 39? That's, you know, he's no spring chicken. So how long is his body going to hold up? Probably next week he's going to die.
Because here's a guy who is going to, as we saw in that match with Ishii from Power Struggle, He will do anything to have a good match. Anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's that guy. You know, he's fortunately for us, he's that guy. He's one of those. You know, I think he kind of feels like he's never going to be the top guy, so he's got to go the extra mile. I like wrestlers like that. I think a lot of listeners do. They like the wrestler that, you know, the underdog or the maybe the underappreciated guy. And I think Hanma is definitely one of those guys.
I want Hanma to have a good retirement, though. Like, I want that guy to, like, enjoy, you know, the second half of his life.
The finer things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I don't think they have a 401k plan at New Japan.
Probably not.
They don't have profit sharing, I'm going to gather. From what I understand, the life of a middle-of-the-road pro wrestler it probably explains why you see people in their 70s wrestling on Tenryu retirement matches. Pro wrestling is not the most stable of lifestyles unless you're good with money and you're financially wise.
Moving on here to a B-block match, that GBH versus Chaos was an A-block match. This one featured Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, our favorite tag team. I know,
yeah,
Gallows.
Tag team of the year.
Yep, tag team of the year. Your favorite wrestler, Damon, Doc Gallows, taking on Los Ingobernables, the team of Tetsuya Naito and Evil. So Evil makes his entrance, right? And he still has that shitty plastic Halloween sickle.
Stinks.
The Mordecai sickle.
It stinks. Terrible.
Yeah. You know, I for some reason, I didn't mind it as much at the Osaka show, but it looked so awkward in Korakuen Hall. Like,
yeah. It's entirely too big.
Yeah, it's way too big, and it just looks like a plastic toy that you would go trick or treating with, right?
It's horrible. I saw that, and him trying to get that piece of shit plastic sickle through the curtain, and he couldn't. He looked like Guy Smiley trying to get through the fucking curtain. Anybody get that Sesame Street? No, nobody. It was horrible, and it's plastic. It's obviously plastic. It's too big. It's entirely too awkward. The robe stinks. I should show you. I have a picture of like a Halloween from like about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, where I literally am Evil. Like it was like a night. So I got it like 2 days before the Halloween party, and it was like a night. So it's like you had like the robe and a sword and like chainmail. I did my eyes just like Evil, right? I swear to God, I saw the picture.
I need to see this picture.
I will text it to you. I think it's still my phone. I'm not sure.
You were the original Evil.
I will text you. I will send it to you. I might not be able to do it now because it's not on my phone, but I will send it to you. Yeah, I was the original Evil. Absolutely. I'll tweet that motherfucking picture out, and everyone will see that I was the original Evil.
So Evil comes out with a plastic sickle. He's got the Freddy Krueger glove on that shoots the green lasers out.
And in it like that in Cork, and it looks stupid.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest with you. Everything that we liked about this going in seemed a little bit on the ghetto fabulous side.
Yeah, like it worked in Osaka, but here it just looked like shitty indie backyard pro wrestling, I'm sorry to say. So
it really did.
So he makes his entrance, and then who we think is Naito comes out. But he takes off the mask, and who is it but Bushi? Bushi is now a member of Los Ingobernables.
Yeah, so that might be a response to La Sombra, right? Who, as we all know, recently signed his deal with NXT/WWE. La Sombra, a former Los Ingobernables.
Very good, Damon. Very good.
Not bad. I had to like really sound it out. Member in Mexico. So maybe that's a response. Maybe that was a plan all along. Who knows? But yeah, Bushi was a nice little surprise. When he was walking out and he had the mask on, my first thought was, man, Naito's kind of slimmed down and looking good. And then he takes off the mask. I was like, wow, it's not Naito at all. It was Bushi. So the stable is getting more members, more recruits. So it makes things a little bit more interesting as well. I like this. I do like the way that that's going.
Yeah, so we saw – okay, well, first of all, what did you think of this match? I thought it was a decent match.
I liked it. I thought it was two heel teams beating the shit out of each other. I love the fact that they went up in the crowd because, you know, that's not something that happens all the time. I think the last time I saw them go up in the crowd in Corrigan was AJ Styles against Bad Luck Fale, G1, right? Remember
yep,
that?
Yep. Oh, how could I forget?
I was there.
Of course you were.
Of course I was.
Bastard.
I know. Listen, it cost me a lot of money. Come tax time, I'll be paying for it, I'm sure.
When are you going to take me to one of these things? Jeez.
Listen, you know what you got to do to get a plane trip to Japan. Listen, not for nothing. You know, these things don't come free. Boy, that was really weird, wasn't it?
That was a bit awkward. Anyway.
Anyway, so they brawl in the crowd. I like that. I'm telling you, I had no problems with this match. I really didn't. I really didn't have a problem with that. I like the way that they decided to just let it all hang out and let it go and brawl and two heel teams. And I do like Evil's evilness. Like, I like the fact that he is a super heel in the sense of the biting and the gouging. I kind of think that's fitting for him. And a little bit of a surprise finish there for you, pinning the tag champs.
The funniest part in this match was when so Naito and Carl Anderson are brawling, and Anderson literally like throws him out the door, right? Like, yeah. Like he throws him out the door. Naito goes through the doors, and then like a couple minutes later, the camera shows him in the audience just sitting like amidst the audience, just like, yeah, you know, taking a rest, like looking on. That stuff like that just cracks me up. I've been saying it for weeks now. I love this heel Naito character.
I like the fact that the stable is growing. I like the fact that there's new members and it's an interesting dynamic. I do like that. In recent weeks, it's definitely I've turned the corner on Naito himself working this gimmick. Match itself, again, I liked it. I thought it was a good, solid brawl between two heel teams. Is it something that I'm going to go out of my way to watch again? Probably not. But hey, listen, if it's your first time watching the show, I think that's a good launch point.
What do you think of Naito pinning your man Gallows with the flippy doodle finish?
Yeah, that flippy doodle finish. Great. You know, I was kind of surprised. You know, tag champs losing the opening round or opening night. Of the tourney. That's a pleasant surprise. I like that. I like the fact that Gallo's looking at the lights. No problem at all. I like this a lot.
By the way, I only counted two coxswings in this match, and they weren't even in full view.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think he's on to our gimmick. You know, I think he's now he's just, you know, he's noticing that we're missing it. He's noticing that we're longing for it, and it's going to be, I think something special is planned for the Dome. I think he's going to come out with a giant inflatable penis. like the 1987 Beastie Boys.
I just pictured that in my mind right now.
It's like the big stage set up, and it's just going to be one gigantic inflatable penis coming out from the stage. He's going to come out swinging it. Oh, it's going to be magical.
That would be a Wrestle Kingdom moment for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be in like the, you know how they do like the video package when they, never mind. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's move on.
All right, so next we had the team of Mayu Tag, Goto and Shibata, taking on Nakamura and Tomohiro Ishii. I thought that this was a very good match.
Absolutely. Absolutely great match. The finish, not so surprising. And here's what I like. And here's how logical New Japan can be. The better team won. And what do I mean by that? Well, Goto and Shibata, you know, they've been the tag team for a while, former tag team champs. You know, they had a cup of coffee, as they say, with the belt. They are a more established tag team. So the two singles competitors, two singles champions, Nakamura and Ishii, collectively as a team couldn't overcome the collective efforts of a team that has been a team on numerous occasions. Now, one can argue and say that, well, Ishii and Nakamura have teamed before. Yes, but in the logical progression of things in this calendar year, I think you would tip the hat to Goto and Shibata in that favor. So I like that. I like the way that they booked that. You know, Ishii and was taking a fall here, right? And you knew that if anybody's taking a fall, he was probably the one. And that's your never champion. So interesting way to go there. Now, I think what's even more interesting is this never title, to be quite honest with you. And where that might be going. And that might be a discussion we might want to hold and save till after we're done the last match. But I'm really curious as to where this never title match goes, because if we agree that Hamna and Makabe,
GBH, great bash heel.
Yes. If they're moving on in this tournament and taking on Gallows and Anderson for the belts at the Dome, then that kind of opens up a couple people for the never title. And we could discuss that after we finish up this review.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to discussing that, because it's kind of foggy. But last match here, the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Big Mike Elgin taking on Kazuchika Okada and Yoshihashi. Look, Michael Elgin, he is a guy, I know that we've probably said it during our G1 shows, he's built to work in Japan. He's built to work this style. The crowd loves him. I thought that this was great.
Yeah, he is the most over American, North American since... You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's gotten over quicker than AJ.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he got really over during the G1.
I really think so. I legitimately think that Michael Elgin, the progression that from his first G1 match to where he is right now, has progressed faster than AJ Styles when it comes to the treatment and respect and buzz, if you will, in New Japan. He is tailor made for this promotion. He's in a big spotlight. He's in a big tag with Tanahashi. Yes, he's going to be taking his fair share of falls, but man, oh man, this, like, I get jacked up for a fucking Michael Elgin match in New Japan. And let me say this. I can't believe how many fucking promotions have dropped the ball. What does that say about New Japan? We've been shitting on New Japan for a while about all the balls that they've been dropping lately, right? Between the junior tag, between the actual junior strap and Kushida, there's plenty of places where you could say, and Dorada, and there's plenty of spots where you can be like, you fucked up there, boys.
Yeah, they dropped the ball more times than Shawn Michaels did when he was commissioner.
No idea what that means, but Michael Elgin, here's what they've done with Michael Elgin. They let him fucking go. They let him do his thing, right? They let him be a monster, a friendly monster, a lovable monster, that if he gets a little riled up, you're dead man, right?
Like the Cookie Monster,
just like him, right? There are plenty of other promotions where Michael Elgin has worked, and I'm looking right at you, Ring of Honor, who completely fucked up Michael Elgin. Now, there's a lot to be said about what Michael Elgin did and the social media and the backlash, all that horseshit. All I know is this. This guy takes a plane trip to Japan, and he's the most over motherfucker on that show. He's amazing. He's doing well. Every time he's there, and it's fresh, and it's exciting, and the people are digging it, and he brings people into the matches that may be on the fence. By the time you leave that building, you're on the Michael Elgin bandwagon.
How about that double fall-away slam?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a fucking beast. I mean, the suplex, he pulls him off over the top rope from the outside. Look, this is a big spot for Michael Elgin. I love what New Japan is doing with him. Just letting him be. Just letting him do what he does, you know, giving a little bit of a dirty edge, you know. He's got the robe, he's kind of doing a little Steve Williams gimmick.
He's got a little Dr. Death thing going on.
A little Dr. Death thing, a little Bam Bam thing.
Similar to how Takahashi has the Ric Flair thing.
Very similar, right neck and neck, right? But, yeah, I just love the fact that they're just leaving him alone and letting him do his thing. And, there's plenty of other places that missed the ball on Michael Elgin. And again, I'm sure there are a lot of factors that go into that. But boy, oh boy, New Japan, home run on Michael Elgin.
So Michael Elgin picks up the win here for his team with a Revolution Elgin bomb on Yoshihashi.
Yeah, it looked tight. It was like a
Yeah, Tanahashi and Michael Elgin close out the show here. Now, okay, we have to talk about Michael Elgin's future here, because as I said, he's a guy who's just tailor-made, tailor-built to work in front of this Japanese audience. But, you know, a lot of people are reaching out to Michael Elgin, and I don't even think this is a rumor. I think that this is confirmed that he has been in discussion with NXT.
I said last week, it's I don't think it's any surprise, and NXT would be stupid not to, to at least send some feelers out. I know that he's in negotiations with Ring of Honor to rework his deal. His contract is expiring. You know, New Japan is always an option. So, yeah, there's a lot of people knocking on Michael Elgin's door. He's going to do what's right for him and his family. He has a new child. I'm sure that you're well aware. So he's going to do what's best, and whoever makes him the best deal, and if that's New Japan, that awesome for us. If that's NXT, okay. I'm not going to lie. I'll be less than thrilled. But, hey, he's got to do what's right. I'm sure that he's got plenty of offers, and he's mulling them over with him and his family.
I'm going to give all of our listeners a little spoiler warning here, because I'm about to spoil some Ring of Honor taping results.
Uh-oh.
So here we go. Spoilers. You have 5 seconds to turn this podcast off. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so Michael Elgin won the Survival of the Fittest, right? Which basically guarantees him a shot at the ROH world title. And I believe at the taping, he announced that he was going to be challenging for this title in Japan.
Correct. Yes. So the word that we received was, Elgin wins, challenging Jay Lethal, Dome. So for those of us that were kind of clamoring and hoping and wishing for an Ishii Elgin, well, don't look like that's going to be happening for the NEVER title. Looks like it's going to be a Ring of Honor belt. And again, I said it's going to be a good match, and Jay Lethal is going to do everything in his power to make it a great match.
Wait a minute, Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal? AJ is going to be wrestling twice that night. What are you talking about?
My bad. Right, because AJ is winning the belt in Philadelphia at the Ring of Honor show. If that doesn't happen, we'll have Jay Lethal and we'll have Michael Elgin doing their best. And again, I don't know how well they work together. I would prefer an Ishii Elgin, but like I said, Elgin and Lethal is not chopped liver.
No, that's going to be a good match. But yeah, so let's get to this NEVER title situation, because we thought that, okay, so if Makabe and Honma, if they're really going to go all the way in this World Tag League and they're going to get the shot against Guns and Gallows at the Dome, then, okay, we thought that Michael Elgin would be the natural choice to challenge for this NEVER Openweight title.
Right.
So, okay, so Michael Elgin is going to be challenging for the ROH world title. Now, let's assume here that GBH does make it to the finals. They win the World Tag League. They're having their match at the Dome. Who's left here to challenge for this NEVER Openweight title against
right.
Ishii?
That's my question. Now, here are the people that are left in limbo and don't have anything going on. Bad Luck Fale.
Right.
Yuji Nagata.
Okay.
I'm just naming names at this point, right?
Tenzan.
Kojima.
Nakanishi.
Nakanishi. Tajiri.
Tama Tonga.
I mean, who else?
Did you say Tajiri?
Yeah.
Is Tajiri in New Japan now?
Oh, not Tajiri. Takahashi. I'm sorry.
You got me like.
I suck.
You confused me there. Tajiri. Like, if Tajiri, that would be awesome.
He was just in Philly recently. Actually.
Was he?
Yeah, and he was on the House of Hardcore show. My bad.
I would love a Takahashi versus Ishii match.
Would you really?
I think that would be amazing. I think that Takahashi is just what this NEVER Openweight division needs to breathe some youth back into the original meaning of the title.
All right. Well,
that's my pick.
Okay. I'm not on board with that. But you could see that it's a little thin. Now, this is where they bring somebody in. This is where we're getting a special guest. This is where, you know, maybe a Ring of Honor, another Ring of Honor combatant. And speaking of Ring of Honor, you know, we There's one tag team that is kind of has me scratching my head that we haven't seen them, and that's the Briscoes.
I was literally just about to mention that. I'm not even joking with you. First of all, what are the Briscoe brothers doing right now that they couldn't have been booked on this New Japan tour?
They're tending to their chickens.
I guess so, down in Sandy Fork, Delaware, with Papa Briscoe.
Yeah, they got some chickens to take care of. You know, that the chickens ain't going to take care of themselves.
No, they're not.
I guess. That's what
cows aren't going to milk them. They have to be milked every morning.
That's what I'm hearing. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what other obligations the Briscoes had. But, yeah, I think I think people were pretty excited with the possibility of them coming by. But maybe we'll see them when the Ring of Honor show started up. But, yes, it is a Briscoe-less tournament. But the NEVER title, getting back to that, it's kind of barren. I don't know where they're going with this. So if anybody has any ideas, by all means, hit us up on the Twitter box.
Yeah, tweet us at PuroCast. Engage us in discussion on our Facebook, because, Damon, I'm at a loss here. You know, if Elgin's not going to challenge for it, and you know, okay, you know what do you think of the possibility here that we're wrong about GBH going all the way in this tournament? And if it's not them, then who is it going to be?
I mean, it could be a Naito Evil.
I don't see that, though.
Could be a Shibata Goto.
No, I don't see that either, because
I think those two are kind of married to each other at this point, right? Those guys are married to each other, and I think that that's where the direction that they're going to go in for.
I think that match is all but confirmed for the Dome, really. I mean, in my mind, at least.
I would think in some way that that's correct. So, again, it kind of leaves Ishii kind of in limbo, in a sense of, okay, so who's he defending against, if that's the case? So, yeah, I still think it's going to be the Hamna Makabe, but if that changes, I probably maybe go with Goto. You know,
Goto and Shibata, though. But Goto,
Shibata. I don't think Taven and Bennett.
Yeah, can you see the Kingdom taking on Guns and Gallows at the Dome? I can't.
Let me tell you something. They did it in Don Taco.
Yeah.
That was a terrible. That was the match where Maria got laid out by Anderson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guns
right.
Stunned. No, I think that it's a possibility. It could be former IWGP tag team champions.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I hope not. I really think it's the direction that we've been talking about before. But again, if it is, then who's the NEVER champion? And I guess we'll – or the NEVER match, the opponent for Ishii. Who's that going to be? I guess we'll have to label that as – we'll have to wait and see, Colin.
Right. So this was your day one of the World Tag League from Corken Hall. And we got a question on Twitter. And the question was, okay, what are you guys going to be doing about these shows? How are you going to be reviewing them now?
I have no fucking idea.
I do have an idea, Damon.
Okay, do you? Okay,
yes.
Well, let's hear it.
If you've been following us since the beginning, we started around the time of the G1, and the way we did it with those shows is that we didn't review the entire show. We basically just went over the G1 matches themselves. And, I mean, on some of the episodes, we were reviewing, like, two or three shows worth of G1 matches.
Right.
So, I believe that there is another World Tag League show on Sunday, November 22nd.
Same night as SummerSlam, right? Not SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
I don't know.
Yes.
This cold is really, really battering me.
Yeah, blame it on the cold.
Blame it on the rain. It's Survivor Series.
Yes, Survivor Series. If you're into that sort of thing.
So anyway, yes, it's the same night tag league, night two, and it goes on throughout the week. Now the good news is that we do have a little bit of time to watch some of these shows with the holidays approaching. So you know, I'm sure. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna record on the weekend. The show that is closest to when we record, we're gonna go into deeper depth, and then the ones that were past, we'll do the highlights. That's probably what we're gonna wind up doing.
Right, and that's essentially what we did for the G1, and this is basically the G1 tag tournament. Let's be honest.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's the same formula. So that's how we're going to do that one. That's how we roll on the coverage there. So hope that answers your question.
By the way, while we're on the subject of Thanksgiving, and I think this is important, Damon, I know that, well, I want to know, and I know that our listeners want to know, what are you going to be doing for your Thanksgiving holiday?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Colin. I will be traveling to the wonderful state of Maryland, and I will be attending a wonderful Thanksgiving feast at a friend's house that we go to. Usually we go there Christmas. So we spend Christmas holidays with this family, who's a very nice family. They're wonderful family. Friends of ours. And we'll be traveling down to Townsend and celebrating the holidays there. I'll be making my world-famous macaroni and cheese, and we'll be living large.
Wow, so you actually cook for the Thanksgiving holiday.
We did this already, yes. Usually I will cook the whole nine yards, but this year we'll be traveling down to our good friend Gabby's. And so, yes, I will not be in the kitchen all day. It'll be just a couple trays of the mac and cheese. It's wonderful. I do a wonderful job with the mac and cheese, I must say.
Do you want to hear what I'm doing?
What's that?
It's not nearly as exciting as what you're doing, but I'm going back home to the folks' house.
Where's that at?
Okay, the folks live about, I'd say, an hour north of me. I'm in the Lehigh Valley right now. So,
are they in New York?
No. They're not in New York. It's still Pennsylvania. But yeah, they're about an hour north of me, and I have two golden retrievers and a very large calico cat who probably think I'm dead right now because they haven't seen me in God knows when. Aww. So I'm looking forward to paying them a little holiday visit. And look, my culinary skills extend to making an omelet,
all right,
and toasting a bagel. So
we know your bagel skills. You got strong bagel skills.
I do have strong bagel skills. I can make you a killer bagel with some smoked salmon and cream cheese. And
this is established. We know your bagel game.
My bagels bring all the ladies to the yard. But my contribution to this Thanksgiving holiday feast is I am going to go and pick up a turkey cake from a
what?
It's just a big sheet cake with a turkey on it, basically. but it is from
fucking horrible. Why didn't you bring something good?
Well, this cake is going to be delicious. You're not letting me finish my statement, damn it.
Where are you getting this cake?
I'm getting this cake from the Carvel ice cream shop.
Oh.
I don't know if you've ever had Carvel ice cream before.
I certainly have. The cakes are a cookie puss or two in my day.
Let me tell you something. Okay, Cookie Puss just threw me right off my game.
That's what the cake was called. It was called a Cookie Puss.
That would be like our secret word. If we're like, remember on Gomer Pyle when the secret the secret word was Hootie
no,
Who?
No, I'm not 106 years old, Colin. I don't remember that.
You ever watched any Gomer Pyle?
No, why would I? No. What? You're 20.
I'm 26. First
okay,
of all,
there's still no reasonable excuse why you should be watching fucking Gomer Pyle. At where are you watching Gomer Pyle?
I haven't watched Gomer Pyle in a while.
Okay,
but
okay, let's give it the worst case. Nobody gives a shit about this, by the way. I don't care. Let's go back 10 years. So now you're 12.
Right? Wait. 10 years. I was okay.
All right, you're about 12, right?
Right. Sure.
15, whatever. I don't give a shit. Around there, right?
Sure.
What channel are you watching Gomer Pyle on?
Probably TV Land, I would guess.
Okay, makes sense. But, my God. Colin.
Well, anyway, I have an old soul, Damon.
Old soul? Your fucking cock is screaming at you. Get me out of the house. We're watching Gomer Pyle.
No, wait a second. You know that I am getting out of the house tonight.
You are going out tonight, which I'm very proud of you. You still didn't get your leather jacket, you twat.
And you know what? I was going to say no to the invitation, too. Like, I was so... Okay, here's my thing. I am the kind of person who, when somebody invites me to do something, I'm like, ah, son of a bitch. Now I have to put on pants and leave the house. But then, at the same time, later that evening, I'll be bitching because I have nothing to do. So it's really a no-win situation for me.
Dude, I'm the same guy. Like, I'll be, like, at a bar or whatever, and, like, I have to go somewhere alone or whatever. And I'll be like, oh, I don't want any fucking people to talk to me. Just leave me alone. And then they get mad when nobody fucking talks to me. Like, I'm like, why everybody fucking talking to me? I'm a friendly guy.
So I can't win. But anyway, yeah, I'm going out tonight to some bar to watch some
boxing.
Some boxing match. I don't even know who the hell's fighting, but
yeah, shit out of each other. That's always fun.
It should be a good time.
Well, live tweet us on the Purecast. Do it on the Purecast feed. Live tweet the event, and we want sneaky picks, right? Want sneaky picks of the girls that are there, right? I'm gonna sneaky pick of the leather jacket, right?
I might even take a selfie while I'm there and post it on our Twitter account.
Everybody's gonna go crazy. No, literally, I can't imagine anybody listening to this right now.
A selfie of my miserable mug.
All right, let's get Colin laid, guys. Let's. If there's any ladies out there, there's no ladies listening to this. But
hey, you never know.
You never know.
The woman for me could be listening to this podcast right now.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. So let's make that a 2006 goal. Let's start with the leather jacket, right?
All right, we're gonna get that leather jacket.
All right.
But we want to thank all of you for, if you're still listening to this right now, God right. bless you. Seriously, you guys are just troopers. You know, for those of us who have been listening to us since we first started this in July, I think it was, right?
It was before G1. Yeah.
So we started this humble little New Japan oriented podcast in July, and here we are on I think this is episode. It's got to be episode 18, I believe.
Yeah, we're approaching another milestone, Colin.
Yeah, boy, when we get to that episode number 25, that silver anniversary, we're going to have something special planned for that.
Are we?
Yes, we are. Okay. We'll talk about that later on in one of our production meetings.
Yeah.
But thank you to all of our great listeners there in America, Australia, New Zealand, England, all over the country, all of our great Purocast listeners. Remember, spread the word. You can subscribe to us directly on iTunes. It will go right to your mobile device as soon as we upload it to the feed. And, of course, check us out on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I believe they actually just had Dave Meltzer on the Shake Them Ropes podcast.
They did. It's on my phone, ready and waiting to listen. That should be fun. Great got by them.
And it makes me wonder, does Dave Meltzer know about the Purocast?
Probably not. I don't think anybody at Voices of Wrestling knows about the Purocast.
Hey, be positive, Damon. Come on.
But hey, look, the great stuff going on over there. We say it every week at the Voices of Wrestling stuff. Joe Lanza wrote an awesome article on the Tenryu match. So again, wet your whistle with that, and then check out the match if you haven't already. The forums are really a place that I lurk a lot. I don't really contribute a lot because I'm a creep, but great stuff over there. And everywhere there's good stuff. So listen to us. Listen to the Voices of Wrestling team. Shake Them Ropes. Even the Brit Roundtable. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that. I love the, like, they could talk about like anything, and I listen. I just love the way that they just.
They're a fun group of guys.
They're a fun group of guys. The accent, gives me a tingly down my spine and all.
I thought you were gonna say tingle somewhere else.
I like an accent. They seem like good guys, good lads, as they say. So
good brothers.
I hate good brothers. That's Bullet Club. I don't say good brother. Anyway, so good on you guys at Voices of Wrestling. Well done as always. And Reddit, the people over there, they're always swell guys over there too, and gals. And we love all of you. So thank you for listening, and thank you for sticking it out. Thanks.
Yep, and once again, remember, follow us on Twitter at Purocast, like us on Facebook, and we will be back once again next week, same time, to discuss more of these World Tag League shows. So, for Damon McDonald, I am Colin Miller. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We shall see you next week.
Bye.